This is KBIA. The program is Thinking Out Loud. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll take a look at Boone County's political history. I'll visit with Friends of Historic Rocheport's President Sherry Maru. We'll talk about the state convention that the Whig Party hosted in Rocheport back in 1840. First up on the show this evening, it's Chris Campbell. He's the executive director of the Boone County Historical Society. He's talking about Boone County Votes, a new show opening next month at the Boone County Historical Society. Chris Campbell and Sherry Maru are my guests this evening on Thinking Out Loud right here on KBIA.
Hi, I'm Chris Campbell, and I'm the Executive Director of the Boone County Historical Society and Walter's Boone County Historical Museum and Galleries. And we have a terrific new exhibit coming up that all of us there are very excited about. It's called Boone County Votes, and it's about the history of elections and candidacies in Boone County going back to the 19th century.
For those who don't know, Chris, where is the Boone County Historical Society?
I'm glad you asked, because not everybody does know. We're in Nifong Park on the southeast corner of Columbia. Specifically, we're at 3801 Ponderosa Street, and that's right off of Grindstone near Highway 63. So for those of you that are familiar with the Maplewood Barn Community Theater and the house that's sometimes known as the Nifong House, the Maplewood House, we're in that same park on the south side. And we're the place when you're driving down 63, if you're looking to your right or your left and you see the big, bright red metal roof and all the American flags, that's our building. That's the museum.
So when the show opens at the Boone County Historical Society, what can attendees expect from Boone County Votes?
Well, in the East Gallery, over several hundred square feet, we're going to be exhibiting all types of memorabilia. We're going to be exhibiting a lot of framed items, many of them in original frames. And by that, I mean we've got a lot of portraits of former Boone County judges, and by judges, not just circuit court judges, the kind of judge you think of in a criminal case, but also back in the day, what are now county commissioners were called county judges. And we've got a number of portraits in our permanent collection that go back to the 19th century, as early as the 1840s, and several at the turn of the 20th century. We're going to be exhibiting those. We're going to be exhibiting a lot of framed items that would include the state legislatures over the years. Specifically, we've got a lot of those between the 1930s and 1950s, and we'll be highlighting the Boone County representatives in those legislatures. But we've also got a lot of fun memorabilia and what you would think of, political campaign buttons, T-shirts, bumper stickers, and in particular, we've got some really cool campaign posters. We've got a campaign poster for a Missouri governor named Champ Clark, and we've got a 1936 authentic campaign poster of Franklin Delano Roosevelt that's in our permanent collection. So that's an idea of what it's going to include.
A lot of interesting ephemera that will be on display. How has the Boone County Historical Society come to be the repository, the place where people donate these things? Is it just over time you've become more established and people, when they're thinking about passing a collection on, you're the go-to place?
I think we are. Obviously, people also think of the State Historical Society, but we're very fortunate, really. And I think a lot of this began in the late 1980s, and specifically in 1990 when pretty large museum building was constructed. I mean, we're really lucky to be a county historical society. I've never seen or heard of a county with a population of less than, half a million have the kind of venue that we have. So people have been thinking of us in terms of their donations more or less since 1990. Our vaults are really getting quite close to filling up and brimming over. Conversation for a different day is, I think, in the future, that's not too distant. We're going to be looking at a necessary capital expansion just in terms of getting more space. But yeah, for those people that aren't aware, you know, we do have thousands and thousands of items in our permanent collections, both artwork and historical artifacts.
Boone County Boats is a show opening in mid-August.
Yeah, we're probably going to be open with everything complete, I would suspect, by about August 11. It's probably going to come up in bits and pieces between now and then. It won't be one giant unveiling. Of course, we're open Wednesdays through Sundays. This will be in the East Gallery, where there's a couple of really terrific exhibits right now that unfortunately are going to be retired. They've been up about 6 months. One is called Boone County 4-H. And on the other side of the East Gallery right now, we've got a really marvelous exhibit called 1920s Dress, with some fabulous, authentic 1920s era textiles, men's, women's. And those will be retired. Much of that will go back to our vaults. The political memorabilia will all start coming up probably about a week from now, and probably be finished by the end of that second week in August.
So if you haven't had enough of politics this year or last, right, or you're looking for a historical perspective, head out to the Boone County Historical Society Museum on Ponderosa Drive near the Nifong House, near Maplewood Barn Theater. We've been so immersed in politics during this presidential election season that seems like it's been going on for about a year and a half or two years now. Why does the show that's going up right now matter?
I think it brings perspective. You know, there's a lot about this current political season that is unusual and new, and in some very obvious ways precedent setting. While that's exciting for a lot of people, the Boone County Votes is an opportunity for us to exhibit some really terrific items that we've collected over the years that have come specifically from donors. And as I said, I think it offers perspective. And for people that are fascinated by politics and campaigns and are political geeks, and I'm one of those, it's really cool to see where this 21st century Boone County was 100 years ago. Here's another thing that we've got in our vaults that I just found a week ago. We've got a ballot, an authentic paper ballot that was put in front of Missouri voters in 1924 with about 20 different constitutional amendments. There was a lot of reformation going on around the country and in most of the states in the early 20s, having a lot to do with women's suffrage, which had just been enacted, which had a lot to do with everything from home militias to business corporations. So much in America changed between the beginning of World War I and the administration of Calvin Coolidge in the early 20s. And this ballot in particular is very representative of that. So again, I think Boone County Votes offers a look back at yesterday, maybe when presidential campaigns were a little simpler and a little more predictable.
When I go out to the Historical Society and I visit an exhibit, I'm always impressed with the interpretation, with the placards that associate any of the items or maybe kind of a sign that's identifying a whole section. I know with larger museums, there'll be professionals on hand that write those and they think out what it takes to give some context to the display. Who's doing that work at the Boone County Historical Society Museum?
Small handful of us, and you're right. We're a county museum with very large aspirations. We're very much looking forward to, hopefully the not too distant future, bringing in professional curators on staff. Right now, our budget hasn't yet allowed that, but here's where we're lucky. Our volunteers, who are superb, include retired registrars and librarians. In particular, they include one retired museum curator and a former doctor of textiles and professor of textiles here at the University of Missouri, Dr. Laurel Wilson. But she and Sue Viola and our now 50-year historian, Liz Kennedy, who was recently honored with an arts award in Columbia for her work with us. Myself and a few other historians are really diligent, careful, and determined to do the best possible job that we can with interpreting, as you said, our collections in the most professional way that we can.
That's Chris Campbell. He is Executive Director of the Boone County Historical Society, talking about Boone County Boats, the show that will open in mid-August. You can find more details online at boonehistory.org. Chris, you've got some other exhibits that are ongoing. Can you talk a little bit about those, please?
Yeah, we do. We've got a great exhibit that's been up for several months, but there are a lot of people I know who haven't seen it yet, and they really should take the opportunity. It's up for about 60 more days. It's called I Remember Downtown Columbia, 1930 to 1965. It's in about a 4,500 square foot space in our West Gallery. It's made up of a lot of photography that people have really enjoyed because we have blown it up. We've blown up great city streetscapes to 8 foot by 10 foot and put them around the room, and also includes a lot of artifacts. By artifacts, I mean retail items that were purchased at Columbia downtown stores between 1930 and the 1960s. Those are an exhibit. You know, whether it's Dean's Bowling Alley that used to be at the corner of 10th and Hitt, or whether it's memories of the old ice house, or your favorite store or shop or drugstore, we've got you covered, and it's a really cool exhibit. I'm going to be sad to see it come down, but we will bring that down probably on the last day of September in preparation for our annual Hall of Fame event, which will take place that next week in the same space. And then it will be followed by an 11-month exhibit called Boone County Childhood. And additionally, there's a lot of other things going on out there. We've got a great black and white photography exhibit in the Montminy Gallery right now featuring a really talented Colombian named Lavelli. Lavelli's, whose first name is John, is a street photographer. We met him about a year ago and started looking into his work, and discovered something that I hadn't seen among a lot of other artists, certainly in the area, and that is the subjects that he wants to capture on his 1960s era black and white camera include a lot of rebels, mavericks, misfits, runaways. He sees a lot in Columbia downtown area in the alleys between midnight and 6 a.m., For that reason, the exhibit's called Unseen Columbia. It's a slice of Columbia that we don't normally see or think of. It's provocative. It's fascinating. And his work is going to be up until August 21st. And then, coincidentally, and this wasn't necessarily by plan, it's going to be followed by another black and white photography exhibit called We Are the Music Makers. And we're really excited about that one because it's our first national touring exhibit. So the Montminy is going to be hosting this really well-regarded and well-critiqued exhibit that has traveled all over the country. It's in North Carolina right now. It's put out by the We Are the Music Makers Foundation, which is a nonprofit that also produces a musical, a live musical show called the Music Makers Blues Review. Now, that fantastic blues band made up of black Southern blues musicians is the only act that Richard King has had to Roots and Blues each of the 10 years of Roots and Blues existence. So on Sunday, October 2nd, you can catch them. I believe they're on at 11 a.m. on the Missouri Lottery stage at Roots and Blues. But that foundation's art exhibit, which has been around for a few years, will be at the Montminy at the Boone County Historical Society between late August and November 6th, I think. And that's going to be a great exhibit. For anyone that loves blues music or loves black and white photography, that's something they should definitely come out and see.
That's Chris Campbell. He's the executive director of the Boone County Historical Society. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's having a good time expanding the notion of what history is and doing so in a multimedia context there at the museum and the Montminy Gallery.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're right. And it's not just me. There's a lot of us out there. I've got a great board of directors and a fantastic set of volunteers, but you're right. And we're evolving out there. The building has been around for 26 years, the Historical Society since 1994, but We are evolving right now into more or less Columbia's and Boone County's cultural arts center. When you think about it, we're so much more than a history museum. We've got the art gallery, and it's a 2,800 square foot art gallery. We've got book talks regularly. That's called Meet the Author. We've got concerts. We have the History Village. We curate the Maplewood House. We're just as interested in today's Columbia and what it means in a historical sense as we are in a bunch of old things. So you're right. We are having a good time, a whole bunch of us. We have the annual Hall of Fame, the Boone County Hall of Fame. That's going to be on October 6th. That's a really big event for us. We're very excited. People may remember that last year we inducted Jane Froman and Ray Beck and KFRU into the Hall of Fame. This year our inductees include the late Frank Graham, Booches, and Hank Waters III. That's October 6th. Tickets go on sale on August 8th. You can call us or go online and buy tickets. We're also excited about a new fundraiser that we're going to be doing annually. It's the Boone County Stables Tour. So on October 15th, we will be executing the second annual Boone County Stables Tour. And as you might guess, that's a behind-the-scenes look at some of Boone County's premier horse stables. It's a great family event. It's $20 ticket for mom and dad and $10 ticket for the kids. It's 9:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon on that beautiful, we hope, beautiful Saturday afternoon. And if you love horses or if you've never been to a horse stables, we've got some fantastic ones here in Boone County, and the proceeds will benefit the Historical Society. So look for that in the news and look for it on our website.
That was Chris Campbell. He's the executive director of the Boone County Historical Society, talking about the exhibit that opens in mid-August, Boone County Votes. You can learn more about the Boone County Historical Society on their website. It's boonehistory.org, or you can visit them at the museum and gallery located at 3801 Ponderosa Street in historic Nifong Park. Again, details available online at boonehistory.org. While we're thinking about Boone County's political history, I got to thinking about a historical detail I'd always heard a little bit about but wanted to know more about, and that was the State Whig Party Convention that happened in 1840 in Rocheport. I called up Friends of Historic Rocheport President Sherry Maru, and we visited about who the Whigs were, what they did, and what they talked about while they were in Rocheport for those 3 days. Sherry Maru is my second guest on Thinking Out Loud this evening on KBIA.
My name is Sherry Maru, and I am a semi-retired attorney. I've spent most of my career working with the state of Missouri. I'm currently the president of the Friends of Rocheport.
What does the Friends of Historic Rocheport do?
Well, they were formed to collect and preserve the artifacts and documents and materials that were related to the early history of Rocheport, and then to make those materials available to the public so that they can view those and become more knowledgeable about Rocheport's history. We primarily do that through the operation of the Friends of Rocheport Museum. It is located on Montauk Street, very near the tunnel on the Katy Trail. We're open from May through October on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
The year before the Whigs came to Boone County for their convention, give us a snapshot of what was Rocheport like then.
Rocheport was actually established in 1825, and it had an ideal location because it was located on a natural harbor on the Missouri River. So it grew rapidly as a boat landing and a ferry crossing site. And in addition to having the water access, they also were located on a postal road that came through Rocheport, and it led to Fulton on the east and Livingston, which is near Independence, on the west side of the state. And the postal roads at that time were very well maintained, they're kind of the equivalent of a modern-day highway going through your town. So there was access by land as well as the Missouri River. Because that access existed in both locations, Rocheport was actually considered at one point by the state Senate in 1835 as the site for the state university. And during that time frame, the town had about 8 stores. It had a sawmill. It had 5 brickyards, 2 tanneries, and a tobacco factory.
So it sounds like in the years before the Whig convention, Roachport probably rivaled or maybe was even larger than Columbia to the east.
That sounds right.
Come 1840, political party the Whigs decide they want to host their convention in Roachport. Any idea how they came to pick Roachport?
My guess on why they chose Roachport is the fact that it did have the access by water as well as by land. It was centrally located in the state. So, you know, it was not a long trip for somebody on one side of the state or the other to come to Roachport. Most of them came either by steamboat or boat, carriages, wagons, buggies, or they rode horses there.
Now, in revisiting my American history, I learned that the Whigs managed to ascend no fewer than 4 men to the White House, that 4 Whig party members became president in the mid-1840s. What were they about? What were their core issues?
Well, the Whigs favored states' rights and congressional supremacy over the presidency. Also, in this 1840 election, they took on a platform of modernization. They were proposing infrastructure projects like roads and railways, and that had great appeal to the people.
So were they a party of their time? It seems like larger events sort of relegated them to the dustbin of history.
They ended up having some inter-party dissension, which basically revolved around slavery, I think, and it ended up debilitating the party. Most of the anti-slavery Whigs ended up joining the Republican Party.
So when they got to Roachport in 1840, what happened?
They had what was known as the Log Cabin Campaign. And the St. Louis delegation came by steamboat. They brought some bands, and they brought 2 live eagles, and they had a replica of a log cabin. And the log cabin was the symbol of the Whig Party at that time. And they were using the log cabin to present the image of Harrison, William Henry Harrison, who was their candidate, as a common man, and tried to develop his image as coming from poor and humble background. This wasn't actually the truth, since he was born in a mansion in Virginia, and he lived in a really nice house in Indiana when he was nominated, but it appealed to the people more than that story did. So the log cabin that was brought by the St. Louis delegation was meant to emphasize his common background. Then they opened their convention with a mile-long parade from Roachport to an area known as Crawford's Grove, which was southeast of town. And each county delegation carried a banner. The Saline County banner was designed and painted by George Caleb Bingham, who was from Arrow Rock, and he was one of the speakers at the convention. Other speakers were James Rollins of Columbia, and he's well known in Columbia's history as an attorney and a legislator. He helped bring the University of Missouri to Columbia. And then also another speaker was Fletcher Webster, who was the son of Senator Daniel Webster. So they were speakers at the convention.
So were there buildings that were specifically constructed to host the Whigs while they were in town?
Not to my knowledge. The best I can tell, most of the delegates camped in the hills above the Missouri River.
How long did the convention last?
3 days.
A visitor to Roachport today, can they see any structures that have a direct history to the Whig State Convention of 1840?
I don't know that there are any structures still standing that hosted the Whigs, but there were some that were in existence, and one of those is the site of the Friends of Roachport Museum on Montauk Street. And there are, you know, a few other houses that were built in the 1830s, so they would have been there during the Whig convention. The Friends of Roachport was established in 1967, so next year will be our 50th anniversary. So we're hoping to be able to have some type of celebration to mark the occasion.
Can we recreate the Whig State Convention of 1840?
I don't know. I think that would be a pretty large undertaking, but right now we're just kind of looking into various things that have been suggested.
With a mile-long parade in a town the size of Rocheport, even in 1840, you've got to think that there were more people parading than viewing.
I would imagine. I don't think that I could find a population in 1840, but I believe in 1850 it was something like 735 people. So if there were 10,000 people there for the convention, they vastly outnumbered the residents.
And today Rocheport's population is about, what, 250?
That's about right, yes.
At night. My guest on Thinking Out Loud is Sherry Maru. She is a semi-retired attorney and the current president of the Friends of Historic Rocheport. Sherry, thanks for visiting today.
Thank you.
And the Whig Party managed to nominate and see elected four presidents of the United States. In 1841, it was William Henry Harrison who received the state nomination from Missouri here in Rocheport. John Tyler, president-elected that following year after Harrison's death. He only made it about a month in office. Zachary Taylor, the Whig elected in 1849. He also didn't complete his term. And Millard Fillmore, 1850. He was elected president. Those four individuals, presidents of the United States from the Whig Party. I visited with Sherry Maru. She's the Friends of Historic Rocheport president. We talked about 3 days in 1840 when the Whig Party of Missouri had their state convention right here in Boone County in Rocheport on the Missouri River. The Friends of Historic Rocheport has a mum sale planned for September 16th through 18th and a chili and ham and bean dinner on November the 12th. You can find more details about Friends of Historic Rocheport online at friendsofrocheport.webs.com. We go out this evening with something from the Music Maker Blues Review. There's a photography exhibit of that group currently on display at the Montminy Gallery. At the Boone County Historical Society, the Music Maker Blues Review will make a return appearance to this summer's Roots and Blues and Barbecue Festival at Stevens Lake Park here in Columbia. For Darren Helwidge, I'm Trevor Harris. Thanks for tuning in to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.